So, hello and welcome to episode 4 of Inside Therapy with me, Helen Gregory, and my lovely colleague, Andrea Killeen. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Helen. Hi, everybody.
How's your week been?
Yeah, not too bad, actually. Just, again, writing, and we had our graduation on Thursday for our storytelling, didn't we?
We did.
So that was really, really brilliant to be able to finish telling our 25 chapters and the story blueprint, which we'd like to, you know, spread out, wouldn't we, to a lot of people later on to
yes.
show how you can.
This
you
is
know.
An hour in an hour, isn't it? And we are empowered yes. angels.
Yeah, yeah. So we're lots of different projects. We've got Empower in an Hour, which is the game that we're now taking out and playing with people, that you can empower people in 1 hour, and the book that we've just completed ourselves, haven't we? So yeah, those are going to be things we're going to be rolling out in the future.
Indeed. Yeah. So that, yeah, it was quite exciting, that was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So this week we are still talking about coping in lockdown, actually, aren't we? But specifically
yeah.
looking at the negative behaviours. We did positive behaviours last week. So this week we're talking about ditching negative behaviours and focusing on the positives. So that is our topic. And we're talking about really adjusting our thinking, aren't we, so that we can be more positive.
Yes. Little tips we can use to stay in a positive mindset, or at least help us to maintain that, or little tips that we can use along the way, because we all know we all get a bit lapsed with our things, we should say. So we go back to our starting point, which was the Monday mindset. So it's the meditation, as we talked about last week in a little sample. And then we talked about the movement, about going out and maybe creating a gym in your garage, these types of things, walking, mindfulness walking, dog walking, along the canal, any of these lovely places that you can find that, you know, just stimulates you really in the morning, gets your day off to a good start, really. Obviously keeps you healthy as well. So the mindfulness we're coming on to this week was, we were talking about journaling, weren't we, Helen? After doing the meditation, the next good practice to have is to sort of just sit down with a journal or any kind of book, really. You can do it with a yearly diary, and just jotting down, you know, how you're feeling in that moment, and sort of, you know, the good practice is to really just take a moment, sit down, take a deep breath, feet on the ground, and just allowing that pen to just flow, you know, just allowing thoughts to come down, anything, you can get into an automatic flow of writing if you just continue to kind of just channel this, you know, and just, you'll see some links as you start to write these things down. And it's just really powerful, isn't it? You might not think it means anything at the time, but actually when you start to look back over a few days, you might start to see these links of things that, you know, start to come up.
And I think a lot of us these days don't write much, do we? Because we tend to rely on typing. And I think handwriting is so important because it comes from within, doesn't it? It comes from your soul, if you like. It's an extension of you. And you know, when you journal, when you start to put things down on paper, you're absolutely right. It's your true feelings that get put down there. And to look back on it in days and weeks to come is really powerful, isn't it? You can see links and you can see certain traits that you're demonstrating.
Themes that are working for you. Yeah, themes
things
that
work
for you.
That aren't.
And
what about and gratitude? What do you think about actually writing down what you're thankful for?
That is a very good point. That is the best starting point that you can have, because it obviously lifts your vibration. Everything's about vibration. We're starting to realise this connection now with all this, the meditation music, like we said, and how, you know, the YouTube and the internet and all these new apps now, Calm apps and so on. We're realising that actually our brains are vibrating. And it's really important for us to keep that in flow, you know, sort of thing, because the gratitude is the one of the highest vibrations, believe it or not. So to start with that in the daytime, you know, at the very beginning of your day, is actually just really starting at a really positive point. And then you can start to get more gratitude from there. So writing down what you're grateful for, making a list, and then you start to see other things that you're grateful for, and then that obviously starts a good mood to the day.
So when you say vibration, Andrew, just explain a little bit more about that. What, how do you mean it's that gratitude is the highest vibration?
Well, I guess it's start, you know, like people say, don't they say got bad vibe, or, you know, got good vibe. And it's like we literally feel it, don't we, in our sort of solar plexus. If you notice in our gut, we say our gut feeling is this, or our gut feeling is that. We're referring to our vibrations. So yeah, if we're in lower vibration, lower moods, lower vibration, higher moods, higher vibration. So that in itself is going to produce more positive thoughts, more positive outlook. If you can start with a gratitude, what are you grateful for? And if people can say, oh, I haven't got anything to be grateful for, it was the smallest thing, getting up today, you know, having a new day to start from, that's gratitude for that. And that can just start the ball rolling in a really good direction for you.
That's so interesting, actually, because when I first started doing a gratitude journal, that was exactly my thought. Well, you know, I haven't got anything to be grateful for today. But then when you start writing it down, it's the little things quite often, isn't it? And, you know, maybe just the dog did something daft and made you laugh. And that's enough, isn't it, to be grateful for. It's those little things, not necessarily, you know, you've had £100 put in your bank account or whatever. I wish, but you know, whatever it might be.
But it can start the flow. That's the main thing. It can start the you know, it's like that ignition, isn't it, of like the car. It's like that ignition. If you have turning that key, and then everything can work. Everything works in the car, then, doesn't it? It gets ignited and everything starts to work. So that's much like our brains. If we can start from a more positive point, then we can actually, you know, lift our vibration just by the very nature of doing that.
That's wonderful. And I think the other thing to remember is that a gratitude journal isn't for anybody else's eyes. It's yours alone, and it's private. It's like a diary, so, you know, keep it private. Keep it, unless you want to share. I mean, you might want to share, but mine's tucked away and I don't let anybody see it. It's about what I think and what I feel, not for anybody else's eyes. So, you know, there's no stigma attached to that, is there? It's your own writing.
Exactly. Yeah. So that makes it much more, you know, it's a place for you to express your thoughts and feelings whole, you know, without anybody's judgment or anything else. And it's important to kind of write it that way as well, because it does become that space. And it's really good for your mental health to be able to, you know, express those thoughts and feelings as you go along, especially in these times where you might feel a bit restricted physically or mentally. You're not, are you? So you can use this as a way of being able to free up those thoughts and feelings.
That's wonderful. Super. So that's the Monday mindset. So we're looking at journaling and we're looking at gratitude. So please do have a go at that. Then Andrew said about using your diary. Personally, I would go and buy a new notebook because I don't need an excuse to buy some more stationery. So that would be my choice.
You might like one, of you know, really nice one to write in. That's always a, you know, with a nice pen. You have some nice pens, different colours and so on. It can be really powerful.
It can.
Because if you think of colour therapy, you know, colour therapy works in that way, really. So colours have a vibration. So, you know, you might... If you're choosing a red, for instance, might be quite, because it's, you know, passionate and can quite a strong colour, but then sort of pinks and things, you know, lighter colours from the red, for instance, or oranges are not quite as vibrant, but they are, you know, they all carry the energy part that we all need. So that's why we like a rainbow colour, aren't we? So we talk about our chakras and all of those are our colour wheels that run through our energetic system. So there's lots of, you know, ways we can access it, like, so to speak.
So writing in a coloured pen is beneficial, then, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and, you know, even like having coloured flowers around the room, things like that, really uplifting your vibration. Always having something live in the room, they say, don't they, with your plants and so on, obviously the oxygen in
that's
the
interesting
room.
I've got a purple orchid and I write in purple ink, so what's that say?
Oh, yeah. See, that's your higher self, isn't it? Your highest chakras, the purples and the indigos. So, yeah, that's true. Actually, your higher mind is coming through.
So that's brilliant. Thank you for that, Andrea. So our main topic, this is what we're looking at today, is ditching those negative behaviours and focusing on the positive. So we were looking, weren't we, about why some of us are so negative And there are all kinds of reasons, aren't there, why we might be negative, quite often down to our upbringing. So if we are surrounded by people who are negative, then that kind of almost inspires, if that's the right word, inspires us, or it enables us to be negative, doesn't it? It's like an ingrained behaviour. And it becomes a habit, doesn't it? It's not necessarily something we're born with, is it, to be negative?
No, it's a habit, like you say. So we just, if we do something over and over again, it forms a habit. Like we said, like driving, you know, you do it over and over, then it becomes automatic. You don't think about it. It's just a programme. So you can also have negative programmes in the same way. So it's, you know, it's good to be mindful that they're not actually permanent. You can change them.
Absolutely. And then another cause of negativity is low self-esteem, isn't it? So if you've got low self-esteem, that can quite often trigger negative behaviours in you. If you're feeling inadequate, if you're not feeling worthy, then you can behave in negative ways, couldn't you? And certainly at the moment with the COVID situation and lockdown and so on, I would imagine there's quite a few people who are feeling a bit like that.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, actually, because it could breed this hopelessness sometimes when, you know, you can't see an end to something. So that's why, you know, not to allow your thoughts to go that way. Try and bring them back to something positive that you can do there in the moment, as we spoke last week about creativity is a really good one, because that can lift your mood so much, because in the moment you're actually making something. You know, it's taking you time and energy. And it's an achievement, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's having an achievement. That's what it is. So even if it's going for a walk, it's just an achievement. If it's making something, but, you know, a lot in these times, each day, like I say, for journaling, being creative, actually getting out your feelings and thoughts, and they can lead to, you know, I really wanted to do that creative project this afternoon. Mm. So you might start doing that.
Yeah.
And you might think, do you know what? I need to ring that friend to go for a walk. Mm. You know, that might stimulate that. So, you know, and also, you know, the decorating colours, like we said, colour therapy, or, you know, just being around colour can be really uplifting and energetically, you know, like we said, we can use the mindfulness meditation music was all around us right now, like I said, in the apps and so on. So,
yeah. Okay. And then the impact of being negative is actually, it's quite shocking, isn't it? Because if you are a negative person, you hold on to that negative way of thinking, it can actually make you ill. There's actually research to show that it can make you ill, because those negative thoughts are affecting you physically. So you can end up with a weakened immune system, you can be more prone to illness, it can even lead to a heart attack or stroke. And I think that's quite frightening, isn't it, when you think about it? If you're negative, I think that's enough, that would be enough of a kick for me anyway to turn it round. I don't know about you, Andrea.
Yeah, I think that's really important, the long-term effects of, the negative thinking. So it has, you know, and then we know it's hard to get into, but we're just saying, if you get these starting points, because that's how the CBT works, you know, that's the cognitive behavioural therapy, which is that thought process. We've got to change the thought. So that negative thought, how can we turn that around? How can we reframe that?
Mm.
You know, like it's a miserable day because it's raining. Well, not technically, if you get dressed up in, you know, your waterproofs and you go out, you can actually quite, you know, find an invigorating walk and makes you feel so much better. So, you know, it's just turning those negatives into positives, really, as much as possible.
Yeah. So really, all of that is just a kick up the backside, isn't it, to try and not be negative, I would say. So how can we change, Andrea? What are the things that we can do to actually change our thought processes and change the negative? What do they say? Wasn't it on a kids' programme? Turn that frown upside down. Do you remember?
Yes. Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's definitely about surrounding yourself with positive people, you know. So that's a really big one.
Yeah.
I think Oprah Winfrey advocated that, didn't she? Said surround yourself with only people who are going to lift you up higher, because that was the thing we were saying earlier about the vibration, you know.
Right.
When you meet someone, you kind of get aware of it, that you know your gut picks it up.
Yeah.
And you say, you know, my gut instinct, don't you? You say, gosh, to either bring you down or bring you up. So you've got to be conscious that other people's moods and ways can really affect you, and how they behave also, you know, can keep a negative, you know, can keep you feeling a bit negative, but it's also important to realise that you are not that person, and you can actually alter your own mood. You don't have to go down with them if they are feeling a bit like that, you know. Maybe you can change the atmosphere, or, you know, take some time out.
And you said about surrounding yourself with positive people. I think the reverse is also true. So rather than, as well as surrounding yourself with positive people, get rid of the negative ones. You don't want negativity in your life. So, you know, if you have got people who are negative in your life and they continue to be negative, despite your best efforts to make them, you know, encourage them to be positive, then ditch them. I don't think you need negative people in your life, do you?
No, it's okay to...
Is that really harsh?
No. Well, it's, you know, it's assertiveness, isn't it? It's like, if, like you said, if you've tried to help them and make suggestions of how to, you know, make them more positive or help them be more positive, and they're not taking any of that on board, then surely they don't want to be positive, do they? So allow them to be around people who are negative. But for you, it's about making that choice for yourself, isn't it?
Exactly.
About the kinds of people that you want in your life. And like I say, that is assertiveness, really.
Yes, true. Yeah, absolutely. And there's a guy called Jim Rohn who once said, "You are the average of the five people you spend most time with." Isn't that interesting?
Right.
So if you spend most time with five negative people, what's the result? You're going to be negative, aren't you? So
exactly.
Surround yourself with those positive people, and like you say, lift your vibe, really.
Yeah.
We talked about gratitude, didn't we, in your Monday mindset, which was really good.
Yeah.
That's another way that just to reinforce, isn't it, that, you know, if you start practicing gratitude and practicing journaling in general, really, that's a really positive thing, isn't it, to do?
Absolutely.
And then one of our other tips is make a conscious choice about what news you listen to or watch, what social media you look at, and also TV programmes.
Yeah, definitely. That's, you know, again, the programs that you're listening to. I mean, you know, there are lots of positive ones on TV, like all these making shows we have right now. It's, you know, the household ones, they're really thrifty about showing us how we can turn our furniture around, things we may have thrown off at the dump, you know, what it's called now, getting money for it. It really makes you think, doesn't it, about, you know, what you're throwing out and how you could actually probably make, you know, better stuff out of it.
Definitely.
So that's a positive way.
And the other ones that I like as well are the challenge ones, you know, like the Bake Off and Sewing Bee and the Pottery Throwdown, all of those. I think they're great shows. Again, positive, aren't they?
I love the Sewing Bee as well. That's, you know, really been popular, hasn't it? And
it has.
Yeah, just showing that, you know, there's things that we can be creative in our own homes. We've got so many things at our disposal now, haven't we?
That's it. And I think, you know, watching those positive shows with positive messages, it gets into your subconscious, doesn't it? And it makes you feel better.
It does, definitely.
And I think also the opposite is true about negative programmes. You know, you watch something, well, the news for a start. I've really stopped. I don't watch the news. I pick and choose what I want to read out of the news on an app on my phone. And I'm afraid I just try and focus on the negative, because otherwise you could just feel really, really fed up most of the time, couldn't you? If you, you keep reading about the deaths and the, you know, the lockdown and how long it's going to last and, you know, all that negativity around coronavirus and, you know, the situation that we're in here in the UK, I think it's really important not to immerse yourself in that. Sure, read the headlines. I always think, you know, a bit like last week when we did that, can you, something negative with a smile on your face, can you watch the news with a smile on your face? Very difficult to, isn't it? Because it just brings you down.
Yeah, well, it's not a lot of positive, is there, like you say. So that is the thing. It's like limiting yourself on that. It's like a diet, isn't it? If that's the bad stuff, try and limit that and get yourself more of the good stuff. So, you know, more vegetables, more fruit, and maybe sweets and chocolate just a little bit. So, you know, because that's obviously what we create an imbalance, don't we, when we're taking too much of the other stuff in, like we say, the negative, or, you know, try and get more positive in your life, however that is for you. And just limit yourself to that, you know, maybe once a week in the news when you've got to learn all the new guidelines and so on. Maybe that's all you need, really.
I think so. And then social media, we've got all these people who portray this amazing, perfect, glamorous lifestyle that, you know, they almost feed to people and preach to people. And again, I just don't follow people like that because I don't feel the need to. I don't feel the need to be made to feel inadequate. And I think that's unfortunately, especially for a lot of younger people, I think they look up to these people, don't they? And, you know, the Kardashians and the like. And that can be
the influencers. All these influencers they've got now, haven't they? So it's like if they're not, you know, keeping up with them, then yeah, it can make a lot of younger people come into therapy, you know, feeling inadequate. And, you know, it's all those the positive affirmations as well that you can write down each day. I am good enough, you know. All those other, so it's listening to your negative self-talk and just reframing that.
Yeah,
you know, so if you start listening to yourself, what do I always say about myself? Oh, I can't do this. Or, you know, maybe saying, well, I'll give it a try, you know, and just sort of easing yourself back into something that just have a go, basically.
Yeah, definitely. So I think in terms of the social media and the TV and so on, I think the key to this is really that you do have a choice. So you can choose to catch up on the news as often as you want to, and you can watch uplifting TV shows and just be careful who you follow on social media. And, you know, actually, if you've got negative people who are constantly putting stuff on social media that you are looking at because it's in your feed, then stop following them or block that person's feed from your timeline. You don't need to read it.
That's true, yeah.
You mentioned self-talk, negative self-talk there, Andrea, and that's another thing that we can work hard to do, isn't it, by eliminating our negative self-talk.
Yeah, so like you're saying, you know, when you negative, as you assume the worst, it may be, you know, catastrophizing, we call it. So it's like one thing goes wrong, oh, and then that's going to go wrong, and then that, and that, and that, and that, and that. And before you know it, you're thinking everything is going wrong. So it's about pulling that back. And, you know, nipping it in the bud, so to speak. So go, no, that's just one thing that's gone wrong. Let me just sort that out. And then it's, you know, you've got a more of a positive outlook, haven't you, once you've achieved one thing and not allowing it to all roll into, you know, all this, like I say, catastrophizing. So, you know, saying, putting yourself down, or, you know, I always do this wrong, or I never do that. You know, it's not... it's not helpful, is it? So it's just being conscious of that. Once you're conscious of it, you can actually reframe it into, well, let me, you know, like I say, let me have a go at doing this. Let me try. Or, you know, I've not done it many times, so I won't be very good at it, will I? With practice, I will be. So, yeah, being patient with yourself as well.
You told me off, didn't you, the other week about shouting at a printer when it wouldn't print. I was saying, blimmin' thing. It's an absolute pain, this printer is. I'm sick of it. It never prints. No, Helen. Don't say that to your printer. So, yeah.
Well, it's worth a try, isn't it? Has it been working a bit better since you've been speaking to it nicely?
It has. I love my printer. It's great. And what about doing a brain dump? That's quite an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, you've got a million and one things in your head. Not knowing what to do next, or, you know, what to start with or anything like this can create real negative feelings, and also that feeling of overwhelmedness. You know, a good way just to clear the clutter, you know, is by literally taking a piece of paper and write anything that comes into your mind, to making space for positive thoughts to come through. And the brain dumping is one of the most useful ways that you can get rid of these negative thoughts, especially at nighttime. You know, people who can't sleep very well, it's usually because they've got a million things going around in their mind. And if you can just take them out of your head, put them onto that piece of paper, it does wonders. You'd be surprised. So, yeah.
Definitely. I keep a notepad and pen in my bedside table. So if I do think of something in the middle of the night, I can scribble it down. And sometimes I don't even put the light on and it's just a scrawl, and I look at it the next morning and think, what on earth? But it's just got it out of my head, and I can sort of concentrate on not having that thought in my head and keeping me awake.
Yes, exactly. It's a really good tip.
And then set yourself some goals. Now, that's quite an interesting one, isn't it? Because it's kind of related to the negative, eliminating the negative self-talk and putting things in a positive manner, and it should be a positive process, shouldn't it, setting yourself some goals.
Well, it gives you a framework as well, doesn't it? It gives you, you know, some structure around ideas, maybe. So, you know, you might have done your journaling and come up with a few random ideas. Oh, you know, I wanted to do that or do this, and they all seem a bit far apart. Whereas if you, you know, set yourself some goals, like, okay, this week I'm just going to, you know, concentrate on writing this 400 words for my book. You know, that's one thing, you've got a goal this week, you know. Or, you know, if I want to lose weight, how am I going to take some action to actually, you know, make that happen? Join a Weight Watchers, or, you know, go online, ask other people for advice, have a look around, make a realistic goal. That's the other thing,
because often
when we are, like we're talking about, if we're in low self-esteem or feeling a bit low, we tend to set these huge milestones, these huge goals too high for us. So that just actually makes us feel like, oh, well, they're unachievable, so therefore, why bother? Well, instead of breaking them down. Yeah.
That's it. And then the negative self-talk comes in. Oh, I'm rubbish. I'm useless. I can never do this. I always fail.
That's right.
So, yeah. And I think the other thing is that with goals, certainly in business, we talk about SMART goals. So it's specific, measurable, achievable, relatable, and timely. I think all of that applies with any goals, really. So specific, so you know exactly what it is. It's very concise. It's measurable. Yeah. So you're not just going, oh, I want to lose weight. I want to lose 10 pounds by, you know, the end of the month.
A
specific date. Yeah, so that's the timely bit. It's achievable. So I'm not saying I want to lose 3 stone in 3 weeks. It's 10 pounds. It's relatable. It relates to me. It's something that I can do. And then timely, we've always already mentioned. So I think that's a really good key to actually to setting your goals, is to remember those, that mnemonic, is it? SMART?
Yeah, very good.
And then make positive changes, really, is the last of our top tips, isn't it? So looking at your current situation and seeing if there are some changes that you can make for the better. So, you know, it might be more substantial changes, like your job, or your home environment, or your relationships with your partner, your children, your friends. But, you know, actually thinking, what about all of these elements? Are they making me unhappy? Are they making me feel in a negative place?
Yeah, exactly. So you've got to, you know, when you're looking at your goals, setting goals, and then also reviewing the goals as well. So, you know, you might want a weekly review to see where you're up to. And then, you know, you can also map your progress then, can't you, to sort of where, how far you are along. If you've set that out for a month or so, then you can, like, look at it daily, but also, you know, reflect on it weekly as well, see where you're up to. And maybe see what's working, see what isn't working, and make a note of that. And, you know, it's all work in progress, isn't it? So it's about not getting so, you know, it's a process.
Yeah.
So it's about week by week, and not trying to overface yourself, as we say, or, you know, overwhelm yourself by putting too many things, just small steps.
Yeah. And I think whenever you encounter a problem in your life, just take a step back and look at how you're reacting to it. You know, are you thinking rationally? Is your behaviour warranted? Are you doing the things that you should be doing? Or are you overreacting to something? And how you are reacting, is that helping or hurting your cause? I think that's really, really important. And, you know, if you take the time to evaluate yourself, you'll be able to stop that negativity, won't you? You can reframe those pessimistic thoughts into positive and realistic ones.
That's right. Because, again, you know, awareness is key, isn't it? First, it's acknowledging that there's a problem. Yeah. Then it's like, how can I do something about the problem? And then, you know, implementing the new things and evaluating. So,
it's
those stages, isn't it? Breaking them down.
Exactly. So in summary, what we've talked about is changing these negative habits. So surround yourself with positive people, practice showing some gratitude, make conscious choices about news, social media, and TV, eliminating that negative self-talk, doing a brain dump, and setting yourself some goals and making positive changes.
Here
we go. That's our tip for ditching negative behaviours and focusing on the positives this week, Andrea.
Fantastic. Thank you for joining us, everybody. And I hope those help. And we'll be back again next week with Tom Noor, top tips on how to survive and thrive in lockdown.
Thank you, Andrea. We will indeed. Just before we go, we've got a little quiz for you. So if you check the show notes, you can actually find out whether you're a positive or a negative person by clicking on the link, and that will take you to a little quiz. And at the end of that, you can download your free ebook, Positively Positive. So thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Andrea, for being my wonderful co-host, and we'll see you next week.